The subject for this morning's lesson is found in the book of Romans, Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. In Romans chapter 1, reading from the New King James Version, Romans 1 and in verse 16, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." In this great text, which happens to be one of my most favorite passages in all of the New Testament, it also has to do with the setting forth of the theme of the book of Romans. In this particular context, Paul begins by telling us that the gospel of Jesus Christ is God's power to bring about the salvation of man. Romans 1 and verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is," that is the gospel is, "the power of God to," that is in order to salvation. In order to bring about the salvation of man, gospel is it. That is, gospel is used by God to bring about our salvation. God exercises His power in many different ways. He exercises His destructive power, sometimes with the forces of nature, to bring about the destruction, such as the destruction of the world in the days of Noah. But God uses His saving power, and that saving power to bring about the salvation of man is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In connection with Paul telling us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, he also tells us that it is only the power of God unto salvation to those who believe it. That is, those who have enough faith in it to obey it. It doesn't simply mean if you believe it, that is, you have a mere mental assent of it. It means that if you believe it enough to obey it. Because even the devil believes in Jesus. Even the devil believes in the gospel, but he's unwilling to obey it. And everyone who believes it, believes it to the point of obedience, it has the power to save. Everyone would include every man, both Jew and Gentile. All mankind is encompassed by those two terms, both Jew and Greek. And then he gives us a reason why the gospel is God's power to save. The next verse begins with the word "for," which that little Greek conjunction "gar" gives a reason for the previous statement made. "For in it," that is in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed." It's not revealed that God is a righteous being in the gospel. That was revealed in the Old Testament. But God's plan for making man righteous is revealed in the gospel. That's why the gospel is His power to bring about man's salvation. God's plan for making man righteous is revealed in the gospel. "For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith," that little preposition "from," is ek, meaning out of a body of doctrine and teaching referred to as faith, "to faith," that is, in order to produce faith. And might I suggest too, it's in order to produce obedience of faith. Romans 1 and verse 5. Romans 16 and in verse 26. So the gospel is God's power to save, because in it God reveals His plan by which man can be made righteous. That plan is revealed out of a body of doctrine and teaching referred to as the faith, in order to produce faith in man, that is, a faith that will obey, a faith of obedience. And then he makes this statement, "the just shall live by faith." In support of that which he had just stated earlier in the verse. This statement expresses a profound truth in simple language, and it is found four places in the Bible, and I thought it would be good for us to look at the context in each one of those locations where it's found. So we'll come to the understanding of what this statement means, "the just shall live by faith." As Paul said in this text, it is written, Well, the first place that is written is found in the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 2 and in verse 4, where Habakkuk said, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." Habakkuk was a prophet that was contemporary with the prophet Jeremiah. If you remember, Jeremiah wrote during the days in which Judah, God's people, the nation of Israel, were in great disobedience to God. They were in rebellion to God. They had set up idols, you might say, like the Athenians had in Acts 17, on every street corner, even in the city of Jerusalem. They were abusive to their own people and unfaithful and ungodly, and there was simply no justice in the land from those people in Judah who even should exercise justice. And so the faithful and the godly of the people of Judah were simply having to put up with this ungodly mass of the rest of the nation of Israel. Habakkuk writes during that time period, before God brings another nation that is more ungodly than the nation of Judah against Judah to destroy them and to take them away into Babylonian captivity, and that is the Babylonians. Notice in the context of this, Habakkuk 2 and in verse 4, going back to chapter 1 and in verse 1, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw, "O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save." Violence from whom? From the ungodly and the unbelieving that are in Judah. People who are supposed to be God's people. "And you will not save." You'll not save us from our own people. We're being persecuted. We're being abused. The prophets are being killed. "You will not hear. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me, there is strife and contention arises." That's in the land of Judah. "Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Look among the nations and watch." God begins to speak. "Be utterly astonished, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it were told you." Does that sound familiar? Paul quotes that in Acts 13. He quotes that to the unbelieving Jews in Antioch of Pisidia. "Lest the same thing come upon them that came upon the people of Habakkuk's day." He quotes that very passage. As God says to Habakkuk, "But be utterly astonished, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it were told you. For indeed I'm rising up the Chaldeans," another term for the Babylonians, "a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs." So Habakkuk cries out to God about the injustice and the abuse and the plundering and the killing in his own nation. And he wants to know what God's going to do about it. Well, God says, "Well, I'm going to fix them. I'm going to fix the ungodly of the nation of Judah because I'm going to bring the Babylonians against them, even a more ungodly nation. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat." That is, they use great speed. "And they come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they heap up earthen mounds and seize it." So Habakkuk cries out about the abuse and the injustice and the violence among his own people against the righteous. Wants to know what God's going to do about it. God said, "Well, I'm going to send the Babylonians against it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy this nation that is abusing you and killing my prophets. Jumping ahead into chapter 2 and in verse 1. Chapter 2 and in verse 1. Habakkuk says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. What he, that is what God's going to say. How's God going to respond? I'm crying out to him about the abuse and the ungodly conduct of the people of Judah against the righteous. I'm going to wait and see and listen to what God has to say. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, write the revelation, and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. That is, as the herald would read it and then run to take the message to others. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It's at a time in the future, a time that I've set and a time that I've appointed, God says. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. God says, it's an appointed time. It's going to be a while before it gets here. You're going to have to wait with patience. You're going to have to wait with perseverance. Though it tarries, wait for the promise. Wait for the coming of the Babylonians against the ungodly of Judah. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. Who is the proud? The proud and the arrogant are the oppressors who are coming. The Babylonians. Could have a reference directly to Nebuchadnezzar himself. Behold the proud. He is completely opposite of the one who is mentioned next. The one who is proud, his soul is not upright. It's not righteous. It's not just before God. But the just, Habakkuk, you and the rest of the people in Judah who are righteous and just in God's sight, shall live by his faith. Indeed, because he transgresses. Who transgresses? The proud, the arrogant, the upright. Nebuchadnezzar himself, or the oppressors, the Babylonians. He is a proud man and he does not stay at home, because he enlarges his desire as hail. And he is like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and heaps up for himself all peoples. Either the he is those who make up the Babylonians, or Nebuchadnezzar himself. But he is put in contrast to the righteous. The righteous and the godly of Judah. But the just like you, Habakkuk. The righteous man like you, Habakkuk. The one who is crying out for vengeance. The one who is crying out for me to save you. The just shall live by his faith. That is, you'll have life. Your life will be preserved in this world. But all of the rest of Judah, the ungodly, those who are persecuting the faithful and the righteous, they'll be killed. They'll be eliminated. So to live here is to live physically. But this physical life, for the righteous of Habakkuk's time, is to be held by their faith. They've got to put their trust and confidence in God's promise. What promise? That he's going to exercise vengeance upon the ungodly of Judah and deliver them from the ungodliness of Judah. He is going to do that by or through the use of the Babylonians, who are even more ungodly. That's the context of this. When we come to the New Testament, in the New Testament we find that it is used in a spiritual sense. That is not that the just will live by faith, that is, have physical life by faith, be preserved alive physically by their faith, but they'll have life eternally by their faith. Romans 1 and in verse 16 where Paul quotes it. For in it, that is in the gospel, God's plan for making man righteous is revealed out of a body of doctrine and teaching referred to as faith in order to produce faith that obeys. And a faith that obeys makes one just or righteous. A faith that obeys makes one righteous in the sight of God. A faith that obeys is God's plan by which man can be made righteous. A faith that puts his trust and confidence in the will of God. That's the faith that makes one righteous. That's the faith that saves. The just, that is, those who are just and righteous by an obedient faith, they shall live, they'll have life eternal. That's the point that Paul is making here. You see, life eternal comes by an obedience of faith. It comes by faith. But the faith under consideration is obedience of faith. It's a belief that puts their trust and confidence in what God says. Just as in Habakkuk's day, if Habakkuk and the godly among the nation of Judah would put their faith and trust in the promise of God's deliverance, they would live physically. They would not be destroyed with the rest of Judah. Here, Paul says, the one who is righteous and the one who is just in the sight of God, by obedience of faith, will have life eternal. The next time we see this quoted is in the book of Galatians, in Galatians 3 and in verse 11. This is put in context to those who seek justification by keeping the works of the law of Moses, in contrast to those who seek justification or righteousness or salvation through obedience of faith. Galatians 3 and verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God or before God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. That no one is justified. No one is made righteous. No one is saved by the law in the sight of God. The law here has reference to keeping the commandments of the law. You could keep all the commandments of the law of Moses you wanted to. But that did not bring about one's righteousness or justification in the eyes of God. Why? Because once you violated one of the commands, you stood guilty as a sinner before God. And there was no means by which you could be forgiven of that sin under the law. You could offer all the animal sacrifices you wanted to, but it couldn't take away that sin. You were still guilty of violating a command of God. Consider the context, Galatians 3 and in verse 7. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Who are those who are of faith? Those who exercise obedience of faith to bring about salvation. That's who's of faith. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. Genesis 12 and verse 3. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Those who are of faith, those who seek justification through obedience of faith, are the true sons of Abraham. For as many are of the works of the law. So here we have another group. The first group are those who are of faith. Those who seek justification or salvation through obedience of faith. But here we have those who are of the works of the law. They seek justification or salvation through keeping the works of the law of Moses. For as many are as of the works of the law of Moses are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue, note this, in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In all things. Well, who could keep every commandment of God? Well, Jesus Christ did. But no Jew kept all the commandments of the law perfectly. In order to be justified in the sight of God, you had to keep the law of Moses perfectly. But justification does not come by keeping the works of the law of Moses perfectly, because no man keeps the law of God perfectly, whether it be the law of Christ or the law of God under the Old Covenant. And so we need some other means by which we can seek justification or salvation. Obedience of faith is that means. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law, by keeping the works of the law of Moses as a means of justification, as a means of salvation. There are many people today who put up the Ten Commandments and said, "I keep the Ten Commandments." They must be seeking justification or seeking salvation by keeping the works of the law of Moses instead of obedience of faith. They need to put their trust and confidence in Jesus Christ, because it is in Him and in Him only that salvation is made possible. The next time we see this is in Hebrews chapter 3, or Hebrews 10, and in verse 38. Hebrews 10 and in verse 38, where the Hebrew writer said, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Now here's what the unique thing is about the writer of Hebrews using this quote from Habakkuk. Remember what Habakkuk was doing? Habakkuk was crying out to God for help, because of the abuse of the ungodly people of Judah in his day. There was no justice from those who should have been exercising justice. There was simply disobedience concerning the will of God. And that's why God was going to destroy them. But there were faithful people in Judah. Habakkuk was one of them, and he was crying out for the other righteous among Judah, wondering what was God going to do, because they were being abused by the ungodly and the unrighteous of Judah. Well, when we come to the book of Hebrews, guess what is happening? Remember, the writer of Hebrews is writing to a people who are being abused by their own people, by the unbelieving Jews. They're being kicked out of the synagogues, excommunicated from the synagogues. They're being driven out of cities and driven to distant cities, seeking to preserve their own life simply because now they're Christians. We could go to Acts 8, where after the stoning of Stephen, persecution arose against the Christians in the city of Jerusalem. What happened? The Christians were scattered. They went everywhere. What scattered them? The persecution of the unbelieving Jews did. And through the process of time, that persecution continued to get worse and worse. Even as Saul of Tarsus went as far away as Damascus in Syria to bring back Christians that he might cast his vote to have them put to death. So the righteous in the New Testament was being persecuted by the unrighteous, the unbelieving. And so the writer of Hebrews writes this epistle, trying to encourage the righteous not to fall away from God during this time of persecution, during this time of abuse by their unbelieving brethren, their Jewish brethren. And he quotes, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Look at the context. Hebrews 10 and verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What's under consideration? Judgment is. Judgment is. Didn't have time to read all of this in chapter 10, but you start from chapter 10 and verse 31 and read back up into the context, and you see that judgment is that which is under consideration. So it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall, note this, the former days in which after you were illuminated, that is after you became a Christian, after you were enlightened through the gospel message, You endured a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains. Even the writer of the book of Hebrews was imprisoned, enchained. For what reason? For his faith. And you joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. That's right, when they were run out of town, they just plundered their houses. They took their goods. They drove them out of town. You know, when you're fleeing for your life, you don't try to take your goods with you. Your life is more important than material possessions. And so their goods were plundered. Knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourself in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Do not cast away your confidence, your boldness, your assurance, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. You have need of perseverance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Note this. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Where did you read that? Habakkuk chapter 2 and in verse 3. Just before he said, the just shall live by faith. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not delay. Who's coming? The Lord's coming. He's coming in judgment on Israel and the city of Jerusalem. We've been studying about that in Matthew 24. The writer of Hebrews quotes it here. He's coming. He had just mentioned in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, as you see the day approaching. What day was approaching? What day they could they see? They couldn't see it with their eyes, but they could see it through the eye of faith because signs had been given. Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13, Luke 17, Luke 21. Signs have been given to show that that day would be approaching in which God would execute judgment upon Israel and the city of Jerusalem. He would execute vengeance upon the ungodly of Israel at that time, the unbelievers. And who would be preserved if they could hold out for yet a little while? Be patient. Wait, Christians to whom the writer of Hebrews is writing to. Don't give up, even though you're being persecuted and some of you are being persecuted to the point of death. Don't give up. Hold out. The same message to Habakkuk. Because help is coming. Deliverance is coming. Salvation is coming. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Yes, you'll live. Unfaithful Israel is going to be destroyed physically. You'll live. Your life will perhaps be preserved alive physically as well. We know that if that be the case, Josephus tells us that the Christians fled during the Roman and Jewish wars. Doesn't mean that none of them died. Many of them did. But the just shall live. Not only will they preserve their lives alive physically, but if they continue in faithfulness to God, if they continue in their trust and confidence in their Lord Jesus Christ, they'll also live eternally. Back in the context. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. The previous verse. Knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourself in heaven. What is that possession? It's the possession of eternal life. Now the just shall live by faith. He'll have that possession. But he'll have that possession and attain to that possession through an obedience of faith. So persevere, hold out. But if anyone draws back, if anyone gives up, My soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back. Now the writer includes himself. We are not of those who draw back. We're going to be courageous, and we're going to be bold, and we're going to persevere, and we're going to endure whatever affliction and tribulation comes our way, because we know that the promise of God's vengeance is coming upon those who are mistreating us. So we're not of those who draw back to perdition, that is, to destruction or damnation. Note this, but to those who believe. There's the just shall live by faith, but to those who believe, to the saving of the soul. The just, the righteous man, he is just or righteous by obedience of faith. He has life. He has eternal life. But the lesson is yours. You can have life through an obedience of faith this morning. Remember the Lord said in Luke 6 and in verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Obedience of faith is required. Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Obedience of faith. Obedience of faith makes you just or righteous. To be made righteous is to be pronounced just. It's to be pronounced approved or pleasing in God's sight. And you can be pronounced such this morning. You can be saved in Christ Jesus through obedience of faith. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Him. Be baptized into Him for the remission of your sins. If you're subject to that invitation, please come as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.